That is exactly what we need this morning. And I thank God that, you know, Brother Makea is led by the Spirit. And this is the song that I needed. Because that makes me know that God is, you know, He knows our needs, our desires, and He knows what we have need of. So coming and standing here is not just because I decided this is what we're going to have this morning. Is something that He has for you this morning. I'm just a channel. I just yield myself to God and let it be the channel so He can speak to you this morning for whatever desire you have in your heart. So, thank you, musicians. So this morning we're going to talk about the good, the great shepherd. And that's what a shepherd do. He leads you. He guides you. He teaches you. He heals you. He takes care of you. He feeds you. Right? So exactly in line with we have to do this morning. So now I feel more confidence that I'm not standing here trying to figure out, you know, where's the mind of God or where I'm going with this. I already know where I'm going. So we just continue the thought. Where He lead me, I will follow. And I don't believe there is any greater thing that we could do that we can talk about, but about Jesus Christ this morning. He's the greatest person. He's the greatest shepherd. There's no one like Him. Without Him, we are nothing. So every scripture that we are going to read, it has to point to Christ. If not, we have to reread Him again. So this morning, what are we going to talk about? About Jesus, the great shepherd, the good shepherd. And I think that I'm grateful that He came. And He done what He done for me and for you this morning and for others. Because we needed it. Amen. So John 10:14. We're going to read a couple of scriptures. And they're familiar to you, so this is not new. I asked my pastor last night what I'm going to do. I mean, you know, this is Latino stuff. Yeah, just keep it simple. Don't get deep into anything, so the less you go in, the less you have to explain. So keep it. So we're going to keep it simple. If that is a possibility to keep something simple as the Word of God, it is simple, but it's very deep. But I will try not to get too deep, so I won't get in trouble. Pray for your pastor. Last night he called me from Louisiana, the airport. And they had some maintenance issues with their airplane, so they had to spend a few hours. I did that too once before. But I'm glad that it was cut down on, you know, on, yes, in there, not when you're flying. I mean, God knows. I'm glad that He knows. So they fixed it, but he lost an hour or so. So once from there, when he gets to Dallas, he was late. He had only 24 minutes to make his connection, and he missed it by a minute. I'll be pounding in that door. let me in. So he said he will take the next one this morning, and he'll probably be here tonight with you guys. So, but this morning, then you just put up with me. Amen. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Now, this is very interesting because we sing a song that says He knows my name. But if He really knows your name, you know, you will follow Him. But it's the bottom line. If you profess that He knows your name, that your name was in His book before the foundation of the world, then what follow is that you follow. How can we profess to that He knows me and not do, you know, and be obedient to the word of God? It just makes no sense, right? Where He leads me, then the action is I follow. That's how easy it gets. I mean, no easier than that. By the fruit you will see. That is what's happening in our lives. Now, it says in Hebrews 13:20, now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. So if he's the shepherd, he look at us unto like sheep. You know, that's what we are, sheep. But we're going to see that is all an allegory, you know. Allegory. You understand what I mean, right? Either way. It's something that is a heavenly, a spiritual thing. It is something abstract that we cannot put in words, that we cannot touch, that we cannot feel, that we cannot see. But we need to get hold to that. We need to wrap ourselves around something that is abstract. So we bring them to a plane, lower to earth, and then we compare to something. And whatever we assess from this, we assess from wherever we use it as a comparison, you know. You understand? So, all this has a meaning. So let me finish this one. Hebrews 13:20, again from the dead hour, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Amen. Without blood, there's no redemption. And he died in the cross, and that blood, it was not for everybody, but for his sheep. See, his sheep will hear his voice, and they will what? Follow again. That's all you got to do this morning. He calls, he talks, and you follow. That is the action that follow. You know, like faith without action is death. If you hear the word and you don't follow, if you hear, really hear the voice and don't follow, then it's death. You get nowhere. Because that is our instruction. That is our the way he talks to us, communicate with us through his voice. Amen. We talk about that a little bit more. And Peter, 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So from the cradle all the way to heaven. That's what a shepherd do. He take you from being nothing. One time we were nothing. We were undone. We was undone without God, without Christ, without hope. Children of wrath in darkness. He takes us from there. He cleans us. He washes by his word. He fills us with the Holy Ghost. And then he starts working until he takes us from here all the way to glory and happy ever after that. That's the kind of shepherd that we have. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for gathering us together in this place as an assembly, Lord, that we are seeking from you. We want to hear from you. Father, our hearts have been prepared, Lord. We have made an effort. We are in expectation. Now we need that you come, Lord, and you talk to our hearts. Talk to our souls, Father. That is what we want, Father. Thank you for your divine love that you have shed abroad in our hearts. Thank you for the love that we have for you. Now we can love you the way you should be loved. Now we can love ourselves and we can love others because you loved us first. And we thank you because now we can love each other as brothers and sisters. Father, thank you for the love that you gave us, that we can now love family to a point and friends to the point that, as Jesus said, a friend will give his life for his friend. And Father, that don't mean we have to die physically, but sure, we want to be attentive to one another's needs when we can, and it's possible. But that is possible because your love. You loved us first. And now we know how to love you and love each other. Now this morning, Father, we pray for our pastor continue in his journey and bring him home safe, Lord. And we ask you for those that, for whatever reason, they are not here for this morning, Father, that you attend to their needs. Send the Holy Ghost, Father, and so they can be with us as soon as possible. Those that are traveling, those that are in bed, those that are sick, those whatever need. This morning we send the agent of the Spirit to be and with them and minister to their needs. Lord, we have a need also. Even though we are here, we have a need. We need you. We need you all today more than we needed you yesterday, Father. And tomorrow we will need you even more. Father, we thank you, Father, that we set this place and we have prayed and we have song, the song of Jerusalem, Lord. So we invite in your presence now, Lord. We want to make you comfortable this morning to walk among us, and Lord, talk to us. That is our desire. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. You can be seated. So the shepherd, the great shepherd. So we know that this morning we are going to talk about the good shepherd. And we know that a shepherd is not just anybody. At least in this case, this shepherd is Jesus Christ. It's not just any kind of a shepherd. Nobody else couldn't do this kind of a job. I mean, heavens, earth, it was nobody found. You know, Revelation said, when that book, who can open, who is worthy to open the book? Nobody was found worthy. It's just one shepherd. See? One that he says he gave his life for us. He paid the price. So he will be an eternal, forever shepherd. You and I, we had to die. There's no human being that can fill that position. That position is forever and ever and ever. Yesterday, today, and forever. In the law, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it was an Aaronic, you know, succession. But they die, and the next one come, and they die. But not this one. This is our shepherd forever and ever. He's always in duty. When you need him, you can call him. He's always there. So he's the perfect shepherd. God has chosen him to be the good shepherd. And well, as we read in John 10:14, he lays down his life. Not only he will take care of your needs, not only he will watch over you, not only he will take you and lay down in green pastures, you know, comfort you, whatever you have need of, but he also, what? If he has to. He did. Actually, the scripture said that he gave his life for you. See, that's why he became our shepherd, our only shepherd, that shepherd, this shepherd, because he died for you, for the sheep. See, nobody else has given. A human being cannot give his life for another human being. You can, but, and that's good to do. But, you know, that's only one person. We're talking about a whole humanity, a whole creation. Only one man could do that. Brother Carbo, you should be preaching this. You're the shepherd here. Physically, he was a shepherd. So, but anyway, the Bible tells us that he died. That's me making all that noise. I'm about to, hold on. Okay. And in Hebrews 13:12, he said that he equipped us. He equipped the saints. See? He teaches them. He leads them. He guides them. He protects them. See? He is the chief shepherd. And then, one of these days, when all is over and all end, we will be in glory with him forever and ever. Amen. That is the end result. Now, when we look at the word shepherd, as we've been reading here in John 10:10, we know it's an allegory. We know it's a representation. We know that when we go to Psalm 23, it's the same thing. It says, the Lord is our shepherd. Well, we're talking about something that represents something, actually. So, Yahuwah, the Lord, and then a shepherd, okay? So that represents, the shepherd represents Yahuwah. The same thing in the New Testament. It's a representation of what it is, Jesus, our shepherd, see? But in order for us to understand heavenly things, we have to have some early way to do it. Because I don't understand the mind of God. Who can? I mean, his thoughts are greater than my thought. So I had to grab something that I can bring down to my level and try to take it and substitute it, not so much substitute it, but compare, you know, with that one. And maybe like that, I could understand a little bit better what the topic is and what pertained to me. It's just like, an allegory can turn to a metaphor. And a metaphor, you know what it is? You guys that go to school, I never went to school, I didn't. A metaphor is a comparison what was the word that I was looking for? I wrote it down here. It's a comparison by. My mind is already gone. But that's good. Because I don't have to depend on my mind. So I had to look at my notes right quick. So, all right. By representation, I'm glad that I wrote it because I was not going to write it. I thought I was going to remember, and I didn't. So I was right. Don't trust yourself. By representation, that's what a metaphor is. Something is representing something. So an allegory will always go down to a metaphor sooner or later, you know? And the shepherd and Jehovah, one is representing the other one in order for me to understand what Jehovah is. In order to understand what Jesus is, I need to have something that I can wrap my mind, in that. And then I can make a comparison. Now, it's a lot of controversy. I give it to you. It is difficult because sometimes people like to imply things that they are not in there. And that's why we have so many divisions and so many disagreements. Because I said, well, that looks like this and it resembles this and implied this. And somebody else come and said, well, I think that this is this and that's what it means. And then we start disagreeing and we start separating. See, we cannot, just because we have a way to look at the Bible and try to bring them down, to wrap ourselves around it, we still need the revelation of the Holy Ghost in our life. But it's a nice way to look at the Bible and know what it is and what order it works and how it works. It makes it easier to understand. But we don't rely on tools. We rely on the Holy Ghost this morning to give us the understanding of that. But like Brother Brown says in the exposition of the seven age churches that we was looking on Friday, he says, I got a key. And that key was a simple one, how he chose the seven messengers and how he figured all. He said, I found a simple key. And the key is, I just went back and whatever day it was done in the Alpha, it has to be done in the Omega and all through the ages. Why? Because God will not change. So whatever he did yesterday, he has to do today and he has to do tomorrow. So let's see what happened yesterday and let's bring it all the way to today. And it better, match with one another. So, and that is a simple key. Now today people are coming out with all kind of, representations and all kind of different ways. And they're going away from the original. If it goes away from the original, they can keep it. There's many voices that come out today. Many voices, but I only hear one voice, the shepherd voice. And if that voice will not match this voice, I leave it alone. It stays there where they are. It's too late for people to come in the last minute and start telling me that this is that and this is different. It's not what it was. Now we're going someplace else. It's kind of late. If we don't match the Bible, what was done yesterday, then I would not want to even entertain the idea. Take for example, all these books that we have today. My wife and I was talking about, forgot this guy that wrote the three blood moons and all that, that rabbi. Forgot his name, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Well, we were talking about that he has another book out. Well, the guy's getting famous. At least he's selling books. But I heard, talking to someone this week, or last week, she told me, I'd like to read his second book. I heard that he talks about the Jezebel and Ahab spirit that is supposed to be Clinton, the Clinton, her and him. But that's what you do when you start trying to compare, implying. I understand one thing. I understand that they don't have the revelation yet. If he's a Jewish, his revelation will come when we leave. Then the Spirit will go and deal with them. They will understand what I understand. The same message that I received, they will receive the same message. And when they start looking at those scriptures, it won't be Clinton anymore. That you know, Ahab was him and Jezebel was her. Yeah. Are there people buying it by the dozen? They're buying books. But that's where you get in trouble. Because there is no revelation. It sounds good. I give it to you to sell a book, but they don't have a revelation that they will. And the revelation that they will have will be the same revelation that you and I have. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this message will not change. What was done in the Alpha, it will be done in the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. And that is the key. Just keep it simple. Check it with your Bible. Run it through. It matches? Good. Praise the Lord. It don't match? Stay away from it. Stay away from it. That's simple. Brother Van said, that is a simple key. And this morning we have simple ways to look at the Bible. It's a metaphor. It's a comparison. And the reason we do that is because when we look at these stories, we can call them, you know, some are metaphors, some are similes, and some are, they have a word that I learned this week. It's called, let's see if I can pronounce it for you. Hypocastasis. My, what a word. Hypocastasis. Like apostasy. Hypocastasis. Anyway, don't look it up. I couldn't find it in the real dictionary, but it could be somewhere. But that means that it's a comparison based on implications. And a metaphor is a comparison based on, like I said, on a representation. And a simile is a comparison based on something that is the same. It resembles the same. For example, you know, sometimes I tell my wife, you know, you are like a rose to me. Well, that's just a comparison. And whatever, you know, we see on the rose, they're pretty, they smell good, the petals are soft, and they're nice. Well, that's what the wife are. That's a simile. I'm just making a comparison based on a replacement or resemble or something. A metaphor is one that is done based on a representation. You know, Psalm 23, the Lord. See, the Lord and the shepherd. We're comparing these two things. And as I compare these two things, I can kind of wrap my head around. Maybe I don't know what Jehovah is, but I start looking as he's a shepherd. And I start looking what a shepherd is. Then I understand a little bit how my father works. And then the comparison by implication. Well, Jesus, you know, went and saw the fig tree and he cursed it. Well, we know what that implies, right? We're talking about Israel. He came to his own rejected him. He didn't find no fruit. So it's an implication. So when we look at the Bible, we read it, we try to figure ways to understand. You don't have to figure it out. It's all figured out. You just got to get into it. Like Brother Brown says, I see the patterns, then I use my key. Then I can see the pattern, you know. Throughout the 7-8 churches and the messengers, I see one pattern here and have a simple key. What was done here has to be done all the way through. So that's what I've done this morning. I have taken these tools that are available to me to try to explain to you something that is a heavenly meaning. I may say this to you. You don't stand there and, oh, what is he talking about? I don't understand. Then you leave here worse than you came. So a shepherd. We're talking about a shepherd. Now, the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want, or I will not want anything. Oh, I have everything. I have need of nothing. Amen. Ain't you like that? See, that the Laodicea church went the other in an error. I mean, they started in an error right in Ephesus. They left the first one, love. When you start leaving God, the first love, what happened? You start going into error. And then by the time we got to the Laodicean age, we end up in a blackout. That's why Brother Branham explained it in the resume of the Seventh-day churches. So they come to a point that, you know, it's the blind following the blind. And coming with all these implications and all these things, trying to type this and trying to type that, with no revelation because they're off completely. They had the cow eating on top of the tree because they had no revelation. So that's what's happening nowadays. The Laodicean church, I have need of what? Nothing. See how far we have come? Needing him, our shepherd, I will follow, I will do, I will surrender, I will obey, that blah, 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 blah. You teach me, you show me, you take care of me, you protect me, you do this, 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 and I just follow. That's all the sheep has to do. But now we have come to a point where the sheep has decided, I don't need you anymore. I'm smart enough now that I can figure it out. Okay, good luck with that one. Good luck with that one. So, we have this metaphor here. This allegory that it turns into a metaphor after a while. Just like a simile, it turns into like the kingdom of heaven is like unto. So, it starts as a simile, like unto, and it ends into a parable. Simple. So similes start that way. The kingdom of heaven is like a sword that went to sow, and then another one came. It's okay. It's a simile. It's something that is resemble, you know, a shepherd and resembles Christ, a sword, Christ, you know, and then it ends up into a parable. And what is a parable? Something, a story that has a heavenly meaning, now it's brought up to what? To an earthly what? Interpretation. That's all. So that's what we do. We're trying to grab the mind of God. What do you want? And then trying to help me bring that down to a level that is practical to you this morning that you can understand. Because if we don't understand how we're going to obey, how we're going to do the instruction, oh, I don't know what he's talking about. God is not that way. It's very simple. He guides his sheep wherever he wants them to go. All they have to do is just follow. Now, the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So, that's one of the parts. Before I move on, something else I want to add here. We know that a sheep cannot lead himself. So, stop. Okay? If that was simple. Stop. Peer pressure. What do you think, brother? Stop. You cannot lead each other. In fact, you will lead each other to the wrong place. It takes a shepherd to lead. And we have a shepherd in this pulpit, but we have our Heavenly Father that He's the shepherd of shepherds. But the one that is standing here is not Him, but is the Christ through the Holy Ghost. He will shepherd you. So stop. You have a problem? Okay, talk to one another. Help one another. You know, a sheep will beget sheep. It helps sheep. Yeah, that's fine. But stop trying to, you know, parking lot preachers. Stop. Lawyers, parking lot lawyers, like in jail. You know? Don't try. Sheep cannot lead sheep. God has a way. God had ministers. God had the fivefold ministry. And your job is to find out someone that is going to lead you. That is your job. Once you find someone that is going to lead you, then you commit yourself to that person. You put shoulder to shoulder. See? Right. And then you stay there. Whatever comes, fire, brimstone, I don't care, hail. Right. You stay with that pastor. Why? Because you have accepted him as the one that God will be used to lead you. You can have said, as long as that pastor stay with the word, as long as that pastor is led by the Holy Ghost, stick with him. Yeah. Moving from here to there, going here and there. Listen, my friend, people are going through and fro, trying to find what? You know the reason that they don't know? Because they're not stable. When you know what you know, and you know that God wants you here, and you know that this is the place, and this is your pastor, and this is your church, and this is the group, nothing will move you. But you have to make your mind first. You know, Brother Brown said, find a church. Yes, like you find a wife. Because when you make a commitment, something that this generation don't know nothing about, make a commitment, then you stick with it. The only thing you have is your word. And if you give me your word, that's all I can go by. And if you do what you say you do, then I have confidence in you. But if you don't, that's all you got. So you give me your word, then I just go, well, he said this, and I believe him. Because he has not given me any reason not to believe. So you make a commitment, and you stick with it. Come whatever come. High water, low water, I don't care what it comes, ups and downs. You stick with your pastor, Brother Brown says, and help him. Oh, yeah, you're not going to agree with everything. But that's not what you came. You made a commitment that you don't. Every time you disagree with your wife, did you leave her? What happened? You made a commitment. You made a commitment, and she made a commitment to follow you. And she gave you a word, and that was just a word. And a little ring just to make sure we seal the deal. But see, oh, well, this is too hard after 3 or 4 years. I don't think I can do it. That's why they don't want to get married. You know why? No commitments. And you know why people don't want to make commitments to churches? Well, and they have excuses. Oh, well, you know, I don't want to follow man. We're not following man. We are following the God in that man, the spirit in that man. My spirit will give witness to your spirit. It's not you, it's your spirit, the spirit of God in you. It is God that is leading. It's not me. If I had to lead you, I don't know where to take you. I don't even know where to take myself. I am trying to figure out what I'm doing in Tucson. I'm from an island, beautiful island, a lot of water, a lot of sunshine. What I'm doing in this heat? No water. I have to get a glass of water and put some salt, and then, you know, I have to go out there and sprinkle, at least so I can smell salt water, because there's no salt water in this place. But, you know, I'm just following a leading. I have learned to follow the shepherd. Wherever he leads me, I will go. I don't question. Why? Because I have confidence, and I trust my shepherd. Why? Because he has proven that he can deliver what he promised. Amen. And we have to have the same mentality when we get together. We chose the church. We have a gift. Now stick with it. Come what comes. I know we go through all kind of things, but that's not the time to run. That is a time to maybe assess our lives and see what's going on. Examine our lives and see what's going on, because all those things come for a reason and for a purpose. But it's not to run. You know, maybe we need to get deeper in our commitment. Maybe something is going in an error. Let's fix it. Running don't fix anything. I always, when I get a little down and out sometimes, yeah, I do. You know, sometimes I just want to quit. Brother Branham wanted to quit. He wanted to be a trapper. And then I come, give me a word, I come, I just blast the people, throw rocks, and then run back. You know, bring someone far, then go back to the woods. And sometimes I want to do that. Sometimes I get tired. I'm a human being. We get tired. And then we have to put up with a lot of stuff. You know? And we want to quit. But sometimes, you know, in those moments, it's when you know if you really are what you are. I mean, I'll tell you something. Husbands and wife. You know, if nothing happens between you two in 20, 30, 40 years, how do you know you love each other? Everything that happens to you has a reason. Examine your life. You know, it might mean to make a better commitment or just maybe love more or do something. There has got to be something. See? Because God did not bring these things just to bring them. It's to make us what? Better. So the way you don't leave your wife when something happened in church, there's no time to leave. It's to reassess our commitments. What's going on? And then take your thought and take your ideas and run it through the Bible and see if it comes out. Because I'm going to tell you what you end up with. The problem is not God and the problem is not the church. The problem is you. But you don't want to hear that. That's simple enough, okay? Amen. I told you I was going to keep it simple. I'm not going to get too deep into it. So it is time to make a commitment. That's what the world out there don't want to make a commitment. Why? Because they want a way out. Listen, I don't want a way out. I want a way in. And the deeper I can get in, the better. See? The more we run, the less you get into it. Because every time you go any place, you know what happens? You have to start all over again. You have to reestablish your reputation, if you have any. And if you don't have any, well, you don't want a bad one, so you have to look at everything, who you're associating with, what kind of reputation. You have to figure out, now I have to prove myself again, and blah, 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 blah. I'm done with that. I'm already established here. You think I have enough energy and I have enough years in front of me to change a career? No, I'm done. This is it. I told Brother Doug when I came, I said, you're going to have, if the Lord turns, you're going to have to bury me. When I came in, I didn't make plans to leave. When I came in, I made plans to stay. When I got into my marriage, I made plans to stay. I didn't make plans to fail. Even though it happens, but I didn't make plans to do that. The Lord will help us in all those situations. A shepherd. Now, let me move on. A shepherd, because time moves on. A shepherd, I maybe never get to my scriptures, but that's all right. A shepherd is a condition. And I'm going to show you another way to look at the scriptures when you read them. A shepherd is not a position. It's a condition. You know, a sheep is a condition. It describes a condition. You know, when you buy a car or a house, and you have to sign a contract that says terms and what? And conditions. What you're getting, how much you're going to pay, when you're going to pay, what is going to happen if you don't, blah, 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 how many interest, how, blah, and blah. All the terms and conditions. A shepherd and a sheep, that's a condition. The shepherd has a condition, and you had a condition, and what you're doing is you're signing. Okay, I will follow you. But you want to know the terms and conditions. Look at what a sheep do. She cannot lead herself. She get lost easy. She don't have no sense of what, or direction, orientation. You know? I might say my dog out. Well, I take him in my car because I want to get rid of my dog. I mean, I would not do that, but just as an example. Because you're going to call the Humane Society on me, please. So anyway, I take the dog and I dump him somewhere. You know what? A few days, he will make his way home. You come from work and he's out there in the, waiting for you at the door. You take a sheep and it goes astray. You never, never will find a way. And the longest it stays out there, you know, it runs to the risk to be eaten by a wolf. See? Why? Because she cannot even defend herself. Not because she don't want to. That is the nature of sheep. And that is your nature. See? So I don't understand where was the turnaround point when now a sheep is saying, you know, I can lead myself. I don't need you. I don't have no need of anything. At what point we decide I don't need to come to church? Ooh, I knew that I was going to come. Ooh, I knew. At what point, as a sheep, you decide that you're not going to follow the instruction? At what point you decide that you are sufficient enough to do whatever you want to do? Amen. I'm not scolding you. I'm just getting excited about this thing. I get a little passionate about things. At what point we decide that we don't need the shepherd? Or maybe, but wait a minute, even better, maybe I need you for this, but just stay down because I'm going to take out this and this. I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to do, I think this is better. I got it all figured out. At what point the sheep decides to? You can. At what point your wife decides to tell you what to do? Man, no, that's, well, in this message we have, you know, how it works. The husband is the head of the house. at what point the husband will relinquish his rights. He should never. But that's the point the wife will take advantage of it now. I mean, I don't blame her. If he's not going to lead, somebody has to lead the family. If he's not going to go to church, somebody needs to go to church. You know, somebody has to do. Might as well be me, right? And I tell you what, if you have a wife that is a good wife, filled with the Holy Ghost, and when you lead, regardless if you make mistakes, she will follow you. You know that a woman likes to have a man that will lead? Thank you, sister, for the yes. And the rest of you? I'm not saying that a wife can take, you know, charge of things. She do. But a good wife would like to be led. But only she has confidence on the shepherd that is leading. So if you, her husband, cannot lead right, what is going to happen? She won't have confidence. Well, today here, tomorrow there, maybe see her, maybe not, but it's just not a rest. It's a stable. You know, we have to be stable. And that requires a commitment. That we are going to do whatever it takes, you know, to make this work, just like a marriage. You know? But we are afraid of commitments. Why are we afraid of commitments? Well, I don't know. I'm not too sure. Of course I know you're not too sure. But don't you get to pray and ask God and figure out the leading of God? If you can hear his voice this morning, he can lead you. And he can tell you where to go and what to do. Listen, I don't know what women want to lead. I always tell my wife, if I was a woman, I'd be the happiest woman. Because my wife will bring me money, will bring me my clothes, will bring me food. He has to give me a house. He has to give me a car. I don't have to do nothing. I just go, give me. Because that's what he's supposed to do, right? And that's what our shepherd's supposed to do. You know? He works and she goes, check. I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. Of course, you know, that's a dream because he's not going to give you all the money. There's a bill to be paid, but if there's anything left here, you can have it, honey. But you know what I'm talking about. That is our shepherd. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will take care of you. He will take you to pasture. He will watch over you, make sure nothing happens to you. And if he lets anything happen to you, it's for a reason. It says that the shepherd lays at the door. Once he brings all the sheep in, he lays at the door and makes sure that no one crosses. Sometimes I go to sleep, I don't even close my door. My garage is broken for a month ago, and I cannot use the clicker. The chain broke that pulls it open. I can do it with my hands. You know. But my wife said, "Did you lock the door in the garage?" I said, "For what? Somebody can come in." I said, "Well, if somebody can come in and the Lord allows someone to come in, then I deserve whatever they're going to do. If the Lord would allow it, what am I going to do? Nobody can stop. If the Lord wants something to happen in your life for whatever reason that I know is a good reason for you, at the end, all those things will turn to be good for you. Whatever he allows is for your own good. So how can you lose?" Going back to the wife. No, we're done with the wife. So, as long as a husband can lead, just like we have an example, Christ can lead, you know, a wife will follow because that's what she needs. She needs to a man that is stable, you know, a home that is stable. She wants a man that can provide, I can bring, you know, take care of her, the children's. So that is the same thing with you. You are the church. You are the sheep. And he will do that for you. All you have to do is just trust him. Confine him and follow him. How hard is that? The only thing that is in the way of that and that is your own will. Your own thoughts. Your own ways. You got to get rid of those. When you come to him, you have to surrender your entire life to him and follow him. See? So, this is a representation of a heavenly bride. This is a representation of the bride of Jesus Christ. He is the bridegroom. We are the female part. So what I'm trying to explain to you applies to you. That's what the allegories are there for. See? You act like a sheep. Don't try to be no more than that. And if you are and you were called, and that's what you are, then you act like that. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about giving wool. You will get wool in the right times. You don't have to manufacture anything. If you are what you are, then you follow him, and we do the things to be done. So, the shepherd is not a position, because that's not Christ's position. Even though that's a condition, and that's a condition for you to be a shepherd. A condition and a position is two different things. Sometimes we kind of try to mix those two up, and when we get in a little trouble. Because your position is, you are now a son of God. That's your position. Now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Now. But you're still a sheep going your journey. But you are. But you're still, that's your position, but this is your condition. Yeah, you will get there. That's your restored position. One day I was lost, but I'm found. I'm a sheep, but I'm not lost anymore. But I mean, that's my condition now. You know, that I'm acts like a sheep. You know, I had to follow. I got to stay with the shepherd. I got to learn. He will take care of me. He says, seek the kingdom of God first and what? And all. So, you know, I'm a new creation. That's my position. So when people ask you, but, you know, well, I'm a sheep and I'm just dumb and I don't know what to do. I'm trying and I'm saved by grace. Well, that's not my condition. That used to be my condition. I was lost. I was undone. No hope. In darkness, I was a sinner. But that condition has changed. Now I have a new position and a new condition. So, don't mix those two up. Yes, I know I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I want to be, but I mean, my condition dictates to me how to get to there, if I just follow. That's the same thing with it's a process, you know, salvation, you know, justification, sanctification, all that is a condition, that's not a position. The position is you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. That's your position. You was dead once. Now you are alive in Christ. That's your position. Your position is that what they say, you will rule with him in his throne next to him. That's your position. But that we're not there yet, so we have to continue the journey to get there. We have to be shaped. We have to be formed. To that image that he says, I am a son and daughter of God. But I'm glad that he's the one doing that in me. Yes, all I have to do is just follow. All I have to do is just feed me. You know, I come to church because I like to eat sheep food. Not cheap, but sheep food. Well, sometimes you cannot afford, so you get cheap food. See, we come because I want to be fed. I told you that a sheep cannot feed himself. Staying home, you can. I don't care. Read, it's good. Read your Bible. Pray. Go ahead and listen to Brother Branham messages. But that is not, you know, the way God has chosen to do this. You come to church because the great shepherd wants to feed you. And I want more food. And the people that are hungry and thirsty will come. Because there's only one that can satisfy my soul this morning. And that is the shepherd. And through the ministry, he's feeding you. A ministry that is completely surrendered and dedicated to the will of God. Excuse me. So, he will take care of that. So that's what I said. If you don't come to church, Brother Doug has talked about this before, you know. You can listen at the tape. It will not be the same. And that will not be the same. Because the voice, maybe you can hear the voice of Brother Doug in a CD after the service, but it's another voice here. And that voice, you might not hear that voice. You just hear, I mean, you can read the Bible, read all the verses and everything, and God will be speaking to you. It's a voice, you know, that is speaking. Rhema, speaking to you. You might not get it. Oh, that was a good service, and I watched it, blah, blah. But you would have got more if you would have been present, because he was present in the service. I'm not saying that it's not good. Listen at him. Well, I miss the service, and I know sometimes we miss the service. I'm going to listen at a tape. But it will not have the same effect. It will not. And I could be wrong, too. I've been wrong before. So, I know when I listened to Brother Branham tape, I heard another voice. But once that voice called me into, you know, now things changes. Because that voice was meant to, you know, turn my heart and bring me back to Him. Once that is done, then I have a shepherd now. I still listen at the tapes. I still get a lot of stuff out of it. But it's not the prime thing to do. You know, the thing to do is just to come to church and listen to the Word of God. You have a chosen church that is a church that is filled with the Spirit of God, the pastor and the ministry. Amen. So, condition, position. So, the same thing with salvation. I was talking, you know, the process. The condition is the process. And we can look at the sheep and we see the process that we have to go through. You know, and who is leading and who is doing everything for us. We are not changing from glory to glory. He is the one making all the changes through His Word. That's why we come to church. We want to be changed. I don't want to live here the same way I came in. Because you come every Sunday, because you come every Saturday, every Wednesday, sometimes changes are so minimal. But I know if I go to Puerto Rico in a month and I come back, the kids are this grown. They were there. See, I can see the difference. I see the changes. But I see you every week. And you still see me the same way sometimes. Because it's such a small increment. One day to the next day to the next day. But after a while, if you forget, now you had a baby, now you have a teenager. Wow, how'd that happen? I missed something here. See, because it's so smooth every day coming to church and the Lord is doing a change. And it's so smooth that you don't notice it. But you are changing. Amen. This morning, He's changing you. Don't ask me. I cannot figure it out. You cannot figure it out. But something is happening in your soul. Something is going on. And every time you come to church, that is what you be committed. You be faithful. You do what you have to do. You follow. God will take care of the rest. See, we don't have to worry. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, He leads me to what? To green. Pasture, to a rest. Yes, this walk should be a rest. Yes. Just follow the shepherd and rest. Just like Ruth, just like Boaz. Says, stay, rest. I'm going to take out the rest. But here, here's this bag of food. You know, make sure you have, while you're waiting, you can eat. See? Brother Branham left tapes, food, for our day. While we're waiting, we do what? Get the bag and eat some of that corn. And we hear the Word of God. And so long later, one of these days, without you even noticing, something is going to change completely. Be faithful. Be committed. Stick with it. This is not the time to run. Well, this is the time to run, but not backwards. This is the time to run forward. We're almost at the end. A condition and a position. Well, I'm going to finish with this. I'm not going to get into my notes anymore. Anyway, I told my wife I'm going to do a short one today. She said, okay, we'll see. Okay. I'm done. Because I'm not going to get into all the scriptures that I have about the shepherd. But I want to make those distinctions. I want to lay this foundation. If I come back again, I can finish it. But a shepherd, we need a shepherd. And we need to be led. And we need to follow. We need to commit ourselves. This is what I'm going to be. This is what God brought me. And I'm going to do everything it takes. Satan will not leave you that way. He will come to disrupt. You know, like Brother Brown says, if the church is right and everything is right and everything is going good, it will not stay that for too long because here comes the Satan and injecting, bring somebody in, you know. So, but he says, when that happens, you know, get closer. So close that you squeeze him out. You know, because it's not time to run or trying to figure out what's wrong. It is time to that we come together and love each other and do the things that we have to do. Support the ministry, support the work. You know, whatever we have to do, musicians, they have their responsibility. We got responsibility for all the things. Commit yourself and do them. And you are the people that without you, there's no commitment. We make a commitment to you. We make a commitment to your children that we're going to have a Sunday school, that we're going to have a teacher. You commit to me that you're going to bring your children. If you don't, just let me know. Then I know how many I know I'm going to count on Sunday school, but don't mislead me. Not me, I don't even do Sunday school, but I'm saying the people that do Sunday school, they prepare, they work, they spend hours, and they try to do the best, and then you're not going to come? Can you imagine a wife cooking this tremendous meal, 7-course meal, and she got, even took a shower, and she put perfume, it smells good, she put a new dress, you know, she looks good, waiting for you, and you don't come? Oh, I went with the buddies. We run around. We went to happy hour. But I hope that happy hour was better than what I had because we done. Here is God. God has a table spread. Amen. And then we don't come. And then if we come to them, we want to pick. I don't like that one. Oh, no. Yuck. Those eyeballs looking at me. I like fried fish with eyeballs and everything. You make a commitment to your church, to the people that are working for you to serve you. They made a commitment. You need to make a commitment. Because that's just what it says. I lead, you follow. And if you're not going to follow the leading of the pastor of the church, I hate to say this, but just find somebody that you can have confidence and you can trust them and you follow them because it's better for you to be committed to something than not be committed to nothing. I told you I was going to finish. Condition. Positions. You know? The process. Don't confuse your process with a end result. We know what the end result is. We are. Now. That's the end result. But you still have to. There's conditions. You know? God made those conditions. And you have to sign on that. If you really, really are called and you love God, you sign in that bottom line. Yes, I follow. Amen. Stand. He is a great shepherd today. Brother Branham says, let me read you one little quote. He says, he is our marvelous shepherd. Let him feed you. He will feed you on his word. That's why he gave us his word. The Holy Spirit live by the word of God. That's all. There's no other food. That sheep food is his word. I thought, oh God, a true born again sheep of the fold will go through the temptation of this life following the shepherd. Yeah, we're going to go through temptation. But we keep our eye, we keep the focus on Christ. Don't ever take your eyes from the shepherd. Because then you start going astray. Remember that vision that Brother Branham had when they were passing review. The bride was passing review. And they were coming and somebody was out of step. Why do you think they were out of step? Because they started looking the wrong way. To see what he's doing and what she's doing and what he's doing and what I do. Forget it. Keep your focus in him, in the word. But my sheep know my voice. He just spoke to them. See? That's his voice. Brother Doug has been doing a marvelous job at explaining the voice. The letter killeth. But it's a voice that we want. Yes, but he said, the way to tell which is his, when the nighttime comes and it gets dark, okay, to tell which one is his. And we are living in a time of darkness. But it shall be light in the evening time. So how do you know that you are a sheep? You are not in a total blackout. There's light. There's light this morning. And we are walking in that light. And because we are walking in that light, you know, darkness don't affect us. There's temptations. There are things that come. But we are following the light. The shepherd is, you know, in this journey. He's illuminating my way through his word. So I will not go left. So I will not go right. He cared for me. He don't want me to, you know, take a wrong play, a wrong detour. The way to tell which is that when the nighttime comes and it gets dark, he says the shepherd will make a call and every sheep on the field will come to him. Now, you know, one day I heard the call. You know, we were in the nomination, wherever we were at, but we heard a call. It said, get out of her, my people. We get out of that field, somebody else field. Like Ruth. Ruth came from to do Boaz field. He says, don't go any place. Stay right here. I will feed you. I will lead you. I will take care of you. That is a shepherd. See? So when it gets dark, it says, he has a certain sound. And you know that the sheep that will recognize that sound? I don't care how many shepherds are there and how many sheep's flocks are there. When one of the pastors will make a sound, those sheep know that sound. And they start coming. The rest of them stay there where they are. Because why? They don't hear. But see, the believer, the sheep knows his voice. And therefore will follow. Now, that's how you know who is in and who is out. When we hear the voice, we'll follow. And every sheep of the field will come to him, and he will take those sheep into the barn, into the corral, lay down in the front of them, and he lay down in the front of them, in the door. But now he said, but the mules, the cattle, and the goats, they stay in the field. Why? Because they don't have an ear to ear. But I'm glad that he gave us an ear to hear his voice, you know. Brother, if you're impersonating Christianity, if you got the spirit like unto the mule, or the spirit like the goats, that dibbles and dabbles around in the world, you know, in and out. You love the word and the things of the word, the love of God is not, you know, we a foot here and a foot there, you know. That's not a sheep. That you know who is. He says, now the shepherd, dibbles and dabbles in the world. One of these days, it's coming now, night, it's almost here, and you won't know the shepherd voice. This is the time, and this is the opportunity that you have to have an experience with God and recognize his voice. It is not me, it's not Brother Doug, it's not the church, it's not love divine. You need, this is what all this is all. We are shaping you and molding you so you can hear the voice. Because one of these days the trump is going to sound and the voice is going to say, let's go. The goat is not going to hear. Because it's not conditioned. That's why we are here. We're trying to condition you to hear the voice of God by his word. And to have that simple key. If he said it, he will bring it to pass. If he don't, leave it alone. Put everything to the filter of the world. Brother, if you are impersonating in Christianity, you got the spirit onto the mule or the spirit like the goat, the devils and devils around the world. One of these days is coming night and you will know the shepherd voice. There will be a lot of surprises when the rapture happens. And I leave it there. I don't need to spend much. You know, why don't you get acquainted with it this morning with his voice? You need to ask yourself, this is not, it's too late to play. Either you can hear him or you can't. Either you are Christian or you are not. Either you are sheep or you are not. You got to make your calling sure. You need to make your calling sure who you are and what you are. I cannot tell you. You got to do that. I got to do myself. And if you can examine yourself this morning and you don't think you are, then you need to do something. You have an opportunity. You know the shepherd voice. Why don't you get acquainted with it tonight and now what it means to be a sheep, see? I told you, it's a condition. It's not your position. So don't, I'm just a, you know, little old sheep. No, you're not. That's just a condition. It's plain a condition, not your position. Let us now bow our heads while we're thinking seriously over this. Let us, and I guess he's going to pray, say, oh yeah, thought I walked through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. As long as the shepherd is leading, everything will be all right. You know what? People are so unstable and so unrest. Well, according to Brother Branham, according to the Bible, they don't know the voice of God. Because if you are resting in Him, I don't care what happened. Let the atomic, let the rocket man throw a bomb. I don't care. Let the volcanoes blow. I don't care. Because you are at rest. I don't care what's going on out there. I'm interested what's going on in here. In here. The people that are at rest, they are here. The people that are not at rest, where are they? Because if you are at rest and you're going to follow, nothing will keep you away to what He prepared for you this morning. And it's not who it is here, it's who it is that is doing the feeding. He says, "For thou art with me. As long as the shepherd is leading, everything will be all right." Is there just another now before we close and have prayer? Remember, it is your soul. What is worth it? What means so much to you out there, or me, that we lose our soul for, or after? So we need to, you guys are quiet now. The voice, you must know that voice. And whatever it takes, you need to do. Because that is what is going to call us one of these days. Listen, you might die, and they put you 7 feet under, but you will hear that voice. You know, you had that expectation. You died with that expectation that you will hear that voice. And He will call you out of the grave. I don't care where you are in the sea. I don't care where you are. But you heard the voice here, and that is your expectation. That voice is going to call you. But some people will not. They will be called to the judgment, to the white throne. You need to get familiar. You need to know. You need to have an experience with God, young people. This is how you recognize David. David didn't start it one day and next day, "Oh, I'm going to kill Goliath. Oh, I got these stones. Wait, I'm ready." It was a sheep. It was in teaching. God was teaching him. I was leading him. And He taught him how to kill a lion. And He taught him how to get this. And He gave him the strength for this and that. When he came to Goliath, that's how he was done. There was no decision to make. He already knew. He had believed. So he didn't even have to guess. He said, whatever he did with them, he do with you. So he got 5 rocks. What did he get 5 rocks? If he was so sure, why don't he get 1? Huh? I told the pastor the other day, a day in Mexico, the reason he got 5 is because he didn't know that Goliath might have brothers and sisters. But that's just me. So he needed 1 rock for him, but who knows? He might need more rocks for the family. It might come behind him. So he at least got 5 grace. Anyway, he said, Well, you know, he thought about it anyway. But it's a Puerto Rican, you know, way. He said, remember, it is your soul. I give this message to you. If you are not God's sheep today, then you don't know the shepherd voice. That's why they have so much problem. That's why people go through and fro. That's why they do and they don't. And this and that. Why? Because we're following the same shepherd. The same word. And when we're under that shepherd, He's our head. You know? It's just one head. He is the authority. He is the shepherd of the church. And He's the one doing the leading. So we should all be going there. Same direction? Yes or no, right? So, the Bible said, if two cannot agree, they cannot walk together because they're going in what? In different direction. You and I are going in the same direction. You recognize it or not. One of these days, we're going to be happy that we are going in the same direction. Heaven is my direction. My goal. If you are not a God's sheep, then you don't know the shepherd voice. Just any little thing might upset you. You see why people get upset in churches? They're not resting. They don't know who the shepherd is. They don't have trust. They don't confide in the. They don't trust the word of God, or they think this should be this way, but it's this way. I don't know what is happening to me. Oh my God, I don't know. I give my tithe and I go to church. That's good. I read my Bible. Why this? Why that? Well, check yourself. Maybe you got in your. Usually, I said, you know, if I get in trouble, it was me made the wrong decision. God don't make wrong decisions. If I would have said God and what He wanted me, I would not. If anything happens, God will take care of it, good or bad. It will work for my own interest anyway. So, but if I make a decision and I don't pray and I don't ask for direction, where I'm going to work, what I'm going to eat, well, I don't even have to make a decision on what you're going to eat. Whatever your wife will feed you, you eat. Just pray for it anyway. You understand me this morning? Let us pray. Father, we love you and we thank you this morning because you have spoken to us. Father, we want to follow. Not only just to follow, we need to follow you and not follow the world or the things of the world. We need help, Lord, to block all those things out of our life. We need you more and more today. So you can help us with the temptations, with all the voices that are there. The Bible said if it is possible, the elect can be deceived by the voices. But we are not going to be deceived because we only have one voice. And that is the word, our shepherd. And we follow. When we hear that voice, we follow. I don't have no other voice to follow. There's many voices that are going out there. But I'm only trying to key and to focus on one. And that's you, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with the congregation as we go out to have some nourishment for our bodies, Father. And we pray that we come back with a new, fresh expectation of what you're going to do for us tonight. Feed us tonight. I ate good this morning. I drank. But tonight I'm going to get hungry again. And the way it happens in the natural, if I don't eat, I die. We don't eat just one time a day or one time for a week or a month. We eat and we get hungry and we eat and we get hungry and we eat. And tonight I will be hungry again, spiritually. And I'm coming, looking forward to have a feast from that table that you're going to spread for us tonight, Father. We ask you these things, Lord. And if there's someone here that still has never had an experience with you, someone here that is still don't know or don't understand what I'm talking about, a voice, I just pray that you will open their ears. We live in an age that we need the eyesight, not only our ears but be open, but we need to our eyes so we can see you. I pray that you minister to those hearts, and we ask you all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.